cliffcentral.com.
What do we say, Lucas? We say, that's right. Huh? What do you say when Quiz of Thursday rolls around?
That's right. It's Quiz of Thursday, amigos.
Yes. We are here. We are live. It is Thursday, the 1st of June. This is the month that marks the middle of the year.
Hurrah.
It's also the month that marks the middle of winter. So if you felt like it's too much to bear, you apparently only have to wait until the 21st of June and then you reach the dead center of winter. And from there on, it's meant to get a whole lot better. Of course it doesn't. I'm just being realistic. I'm not being cynical. What happens is you have the winter solstice, but I always find July is way, way colder than June. And then there's some evil, wicked people who are born in the month of June, and one of them is sitting opposite me now.
Oh, is today June the 1st?
Yes. Are you excited, Mubs?
No.
No? Not even for a birthday month?
Well, I mean, I'm getting older. Yeah. More wrinkles. Yeah, droopier ass. Right. Falling boobs. No, I'm not excited.
Well, you know, I mean...
That is quite a birthday card right there.
Well, I mean, that's what you get every year.
Droopy ass. Happy droopy ass day. Isn't that nice? Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel the same. Like, birthdays, I don't want to make any fuss of my birthday. I hate birthdays.
Oh, guys.
No, it's true.
See,
I stopped liking them at 25.
Oh,
really?
That's a bit early, though.
That's when I stopped.
But you want to live forever, so what's just another birthday?
I do want to live forever. Do you know I went to the most interesting thing last night? Someone I know invited me to this launch of some new toothbrush. Now, normally I would throw that invitation away in the trash where it belongs. Because I don't leave my house. I get in my car, and I can't even believe I'm going to do this. And I saw, by the way, I saw your friend Dr. Smile there as well.
Ah, Lex Leo.
Yeah. So we got talking, but there was a lecture for 45 minutes or so on what's going on in dental health and kind of where people are headed and whether flossing is a waste of time or not. And I actually found this thing. Now, this shows you that I am mentally ill, because normally I would hate to be there. I wouldn't be able to focus. You know me. I would hate that. I'd be angry this morning. I'd be coming in here saying, oh, I was conned into going to spend time there. They gave me this lecture. I loved it.
What did you love?
I just learned so much. I learned so much about how it all works, what periodontitis is, or periodontical, or whatever the hell the word is. I found out what gingivitis is and what all of these diseases. They showed these horrific, horrific slides of these people with these mouths that looked like, oh, like a monster movie from Hollywood.
Oh, no.
But it was fantastic to see. I mean, this guy's like some kind of professor. And he works in Dubai most of the year. He's from Scotland originally. Professor Bain. What a smart dude. What an interesting lecture. And I sat there. I got caught up with, ironically, my dentist, Dr. Flax, across the road here. His people were there as well. So I saw some of them. And it was like the whole community of all these people in Johannesburg who are fixing people's mouths. It was fascinating. They were all hobnobbing with each other. I mean, I went outside. It was at this the venue.
Which one?
The one here in Sandton.
Green Park.
Yeah, Green Park.
It's a super place, that.
What an amazing view. I mean, even on a cold winter's night, it was so worthwhile going outside. And you have a look at that view. Now, I took a picture of it, and I take shitty pictures, but I love Joburg. You know, people say it's an ugly place.
No.
And they say it's hideous.
No, those are just Cape Townians, Gareth. Anyone who's actually been here doesn't say that.
Well, look, Cape Town has... There's no comparison in terms of when daylight strikes. Johannesburg is just spectacular. I mean, when daylight strikes, Cape Town owns it. You got the sea, you got the mountain, you've got these... You know, there's a lot of beauty around there.
Sure, it's more scenic.
And I'm never going to compare the two on that front because they're not comparable. Johannesburg was built on mines.
On dreams.
Well,
on the back of mine workers' dreams.
Yeah, on the back of mine workers' dreams. That's about right. Yeah, and Johannesburg is not, it is by no means a romantic city. I was just thinking this while I looked out at the skyline, and also because I wanted to get away from people because I'm not very sociable. So I was standing outside with a cup of tea. I was looking at the skyline, and I was looking at these lights and all the buildings, and there was construction going on right next door. I'm talking about 7 o'clock at night. There are construction workers and engineers building buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? This place is, it's all energy. Johannesburg is all energy. Now, you can say what you like about Cape Town, and it is beautiful.
Mm.
And you can say the people there are whatever, spoiled or disconnected, or they wake up late, or we're jealous of them. They've got a great life.
Or dehydrated.
The lifestyle, sure, you could be mean. The lifestyle in Cape Town, fantastic. I would say in this country, it's right up there. If you've got a little bit of money in Cape Town, you can live well. If you've got a lot of money in Cape Town, you can live very well. If you've got no money in Cape Town, it's just as shit as being anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got no money, everywhere in the world is a cuck place to live. But I'm trying to find a median here where we don't consider our own personal take on things, where you can look at it almost objectively. And what Johannesburg is, it's a place built on energy. People wanted to come here and make a fortune. People wanted to come here and be at the epicenter of our nation's economy. There's activity here at all times. There's a lot of excitement and sexiness to that. I just love what I saw last night. And they're cranes. Buildings are going up. Now, don't tell me the economy is a disaster. We know that growth is way too low. But it's still happening. Mm. And it's not happening because of government or because of unemployed people. It's happening in spite of those things. Shows you there is stuff that is going on. And I was just so inspired suddenly. I thought, you know what? This wasn't about coming here to hear a fascinating lecture about teeth, mouths and oral hygiene. It was really about reconnecting with Johannesburg. You know, I have a flat that it's across the road from this place. And I rented out to somebody. I haven't been in there for, 5 or 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
I suddenly thought, I miss Joburg. I miss this vibe. I can remember now why I moved here. Because I love where I live. It's kind of serene and peaceful. And, you know, I'm not right next door to anybody. I'm not right on top of anybody else. If you live in an apartment or in a complex, and I know that feeling can be very, it can feel like you're too close sometimes to people. But there's something about that hustle and bustle and the energy and the people piled on top of each other in these high-rise buildings. That's a city.
If you think about it, it's actually very silly to be critical of a place that you don't live in.
Yeah.
Like, why are you worried about it? You don't live there. It doesn't affect your immediate environment.
Right.
So we actually must stop this Cape Town versus Durban versus Joburg nonsense.
And I love all of those cities. I don't love PE. But I love Durban and Cape Town and Joburg. They all have such a charm to them. And I've always said you can compare them. I say this to Americans and they get it straight away. You can compare them to American cities. So Cape Town's easily San Francisco. It's got beautiful vistas. It's got the water. It's got mountains. It's it's a beautiful place. There's some ups and downs. And you've got very distinct neighborhoods. It's like you've got different communities within. You know, Cape Town's very, in terms of its geography, it's quite segregated still. But there's no doubt that the same sort of vibe as San Francisco, and Americans will tell you that they love Cape Town if they live in San Francisco, and vice versa. Then you've got Durban, which I always compare to Miami.
The beach, the weather, the girls.
Right,
the playground.
It's warmer. It's got that Art Deco architecture on the beachfront. It's got there's sort of, instead of a Hispanic influence like you have in Miami, you've got the Indian and the Zulu influence in Durban. But Durban is a real African city, and I say that because right near the convention center there, you've got this taxi rank and you've got the market there. And you could probably buy a gorilla's hand there at that market. I mean, it is so like when you walk into the CBD of Durban, or if you drive through it, you know you're in Africa, right? There's no, It's not like Johannesburg or Cape Town. Cape Town, you could be somewhere in Europe if you drive down certain streets. Johannesburg, if you're not in the CBD and you're in the leafy suburbs, you may as well be in, you know, Houston. You wouldn't know the difference. But in the Durban CBD, you absolutely know you're in Africa. And there's a vibe there. There's also an energy to Durban, which I love. And I've always said, women seem to grow much bigger breasts in Durban. That's the truth.
Listen, man.
Something happens there. I don't know. Must be in the humidity or something. There's something that goes on there. Women have much, much bigger breasts. Durban is... If some girl comes up to me and she's got big titties and I go, hi, I don't even need to wait for her to go, ha, because that's how Durban people talk. I know straight away. Yeah, I know straight away she's from Durban because of the big titties. Almost to a woman.
Then
you get Pretoria, which is sort of like DC. I mean, instead of the cherry blossoms, you've got the jacarandas, you've got all the embassies around there, you've got the seated government, and Pretoria is not big. I mean, Washington's not by no means comparable with LA or, you know, New York or any of those places in terms of size, but it's got that feeling to it, like it's a city of international interaction. I mean, if you're in Pretoria, I mean, there are parts of Pretoria that are so breathtakingly beautiful. And there are parts of it that are very ugly. Like the CBD itself is just, it's kind of really scraping through at the moment. And whatever government is in charge there, I think it's just become the DA with old Mayor Solly.
Solim Simanga.
Yeah. He may be able to sort that out because when that city, when it's beautiful, it is stunningly beautiful. And remember, that is where government operates from. So
what's that one street with all like the embassies on it?
There are a lot. I mean, the whole of like Waterkloof is, it's got to be one of the best neighborhoods in the world. It's like the Bel Air of South Africa. There are houses there that your asshole will fall out if you see how beautiful that place is. There's some amazing places. And it's such a charming little city because everybody thinks Pretoria, you know, it's just this very Afrikaans enclave. But if you're in it and if you've been there a lot and you've spent a lot of time there, you'll know that it's a tremendously cosmopolitan place. There are probably better restaurants in Pretoria than you'd find in Joburg. And they're nice people. They're just friendly people. It's a mix of languages. And you hear a lot of Sesotho and Setswana, and you hear a lot of Pedi and Venda, and you hear a lot of Afrikaans and English, and then you hear international languages too, because again, you've got all these people from all over the world.
The Tswana-speaking people in Pretoria also have their own special dialect.
That's right.
They call it Spitori.
Correct. And then you got Joburg, which is this strange amalgam of Los Angeles and New York, and I mean the best and the worst of both. Obviously, not on the scale of both, because Johannesburg is a pinhead in a map of L.A. But L.A. is one big freeway, as Dionne Warwick says in a brilliant song by Hal David and Burt Bacharach.
Sure, look at
LA,
you, she goes, man.
L.A. is a great big freeway.
Oh,
buy
man.
Yourself a what? Put $100 down and buy a car. Anyway, so this. This picture of LA, because Los Angeles is the least romantic city in the world. It is hard, it is cold, it is fake. The people in it are all trying to get ahead and they'll step on each other to get ahead. And there's no community. Like, LA is so fragmented, but it's energy. Like, you just, you get stuck on a highway in LA, you're there for 2 hours. And that happens in Joburg, because people are on a mission.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're always on to the next one. What's
sure.
the next hustle?
Yeah, and this city, let's not fuck around. Joburg people, they want the money. They are into money in a big way. There's nobody in Joburg who's here for the scenery. That's why when Joburg people, Cape Town people say to us, nah, you just don't have the mountain and the sea. Joburg people go, what are you talking about? I have a job. I don't go to work because it's pretty. I don't take the scenic route. I take the route that had the least traffic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's got a bit of New York because of what I said earlier, that energy. And I mean it because if you're not in Johannesburg, if you start a business in any other part of this country, your chances of failure are much higher. You can connect to a network of people in Joburg and it'll give you what you need to survive your first year. Can't do that anywhere else. If you're in Velcom, good luck.
Oh, but so you really not going to give PE the spotlight?
Ah, all right. PE's like Detroit, where they used to make cars, and now they don't. And people
ben
are poor.
Ben was born in PE.
Yeah. Like Gareth said, they used to make good things there.
Once.
Those were. Look, I'm convinced by your comparisons, Gareth. Well done.
Yes, well done.
No, that was like.
Here's something from Entle, who says, "Hey Gareth, I don't know if she sent this today or it says she sent it at midnight, but I mean, I'm going to answer her anyway, and hopefully she listens to the podcast." Entle says, "Before you went on air, you guys held auditions and you chose some hosts for your shows, and you never honored your promise to all those people. That is such absolute and complete bullshit, Entle. We auditioned over 1,000 people, and we put a lineup of 40 or more shows together, which filled up our daytime from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening. And we did that for 5 days a week. And that you can't fit 1,000 people into that lineup, no matter how you try. So we chose certain shows. If you think you were promised a show, get out of here. Go find yourself something else to do. If you've been sitting on your hands for 3 years waiting to bitch to me that I didn't give you a show, you probably weren't that talented anyway. Find yourself something to do. Go make sandwiches. And, ooh, you cut me deep, says someone on the Futurology show. I met with these guys yesterday. Mm-hmm. They are so amped up, these Futurology guys. I got so much to talk about. If you've never listened to the show, Brett Sinclair and Michael Cowan, and they've got Brett Lindsay. It's the most incredible show. Like, if you want to know what's happening in the world of tech, if you want to know what the next big thing is going to be, I said to them yesterday, you know, listening to you guys, it's like going to a mini South by Southwest every week. You get exposed to the great thinkers. You get exposed to the big ideas. You can really get yourself ahead if you listen to that show. And these guys do their research. I mean, that's what they get hired for. Brett Sinclair, you try and get that guy to speak at your company about what the next big thing is. It'll cost you an arm and a leg. Here you get a free hour with him and the other dudes every week. It's a great show. Check out Showerhead back in 94. He had a beard and someone put a picture up of Gedleligiza dancing in his Zulu outfit with Madiba behind him. And Madiba looks so unimpressed. He's like, oh. And then the caption is like, Mandela knew.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so there's lots of messages pouring in. If you want to get hold of us on WhatsApp, 0797482090. You want to send us a message on WeChat, you can do that too. If you want to call us, 0861-555-189. Give Amanda, our intern, something to do. Hey Amanda, are you upset that you don't have an intern today? You had one the other day and you had someone to order around. I saw you telling her what to do. What's happened? Did you frighten her away?
No, of course not.
She was just here for one day, right?
She was just here for one day for her school, like, job experience thing.
So did she learn anything? Did we have a report back?
Well, I saw that there was a video of her put up, and she seemed to have learned quite a bit. She said it was cool.
Yeah.
She asked me, is this what happens all day?
So did you say to her yes?
I was like, well, yeah, what do you want to do?
She couldn't believe that this is an actual job, right?
Yeah, but she's like, does everyone just sit there, like, and talk? Like, nothing, like, planned out. And I was like, I don't know what you want to do, but okay.
Yeah. What did she expect?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea of what she expected?
No, she didn't tell me that. She just, like, was like, yeah, is this all?
Yeah, it's a very unique environment, right?
Unique is a bit of an understatement, but let's go with that.
Well, we've got a big announcement this morning. Sia Sangweni is going to be the executive producer of the show from here on in.
Can I actually say
massive
that?
Promotion.
I needed 2 seconds.
Yeah, you needed
of like,
a.
What,
so,
wait, what
no, this is a big deal. So I think everybody needs to know from now on. This is a huge responsibility, and obviously we haven't had an executive producer. Since Thabo Modisane, the last executive producer, I refused to make Damon Calvari executive producer. And then, of course, we had Flax, who took over from Damon. He was also a producer, but never executive producer. So this is a big step for Sia and for the show. It's going to take us forward in an exciting new direction.
Question.
So very big shoes.
Yes.
Does this mean I get my own parking spot?
Yes.
Okay. Just see, with a board.
You arrive so early when you're executive producer, because then you have to open up the studio. You have to warm up Mabali's chair for her.
I've been thinking about that. Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot of really horrible work, but you will have the assistance of an intern called Amanda, who's here with us too. Right, Amanda?
So excited. I couldn't have, I couldn't be working with anyone better.
Yeah.
Congrats, Sia.
I will warn you, he's a hard taskmaster, Sia. Very difficult to work with. So this is going to be an exciting new thing. And Lucas is being promoted to a department. Like, he's had a real job here for the last couple of months. A lot of people don't know, but Lucas is he's a graphic designer. He's an artist. He's an editor. And he's been working hard in the background. You've seen this new website. That's Greg and Lucas, basically. And Dari, right? Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah. So Lucas is being promoted to that. So there's a lot going on.
Sorry, when Sia asked for his own parking, I just, in my mind, I immediately saw those scenes from Coming to America where
Eddie Murphy.
The royals walk on rose petals. It starts with a parking space. Next thing, Sia's going to insist there be a red carpet between his car and the door.
That was.
With rose petals every
just
day.
Step one. My second request was going to be for better lighting everywhere I am in the building. Just to take proper bomb-ass selfies.
You know, Sia, yesterday,
yeah.
Gavin Sharples was saying that those people who get a job and they just want to take, those people who get a job and they just want to give.
Let's rephrase. What can I give?
Yeah, right.
Your list of demands right now is what you're giving.
Ben, always on my side. That is actually a good interview, though, yesterday.
Yeah, Gavin was great. And he arrived with donuts. I've got to keep stressing that. He arrived with donuts.
You see, bribery again, Ben. You just want to take instead of give?
No, I'm highlighting how he arrived in giving.
And I feel like you always reiterate this point for future guests to get the notes.
Hey, motherfuckers, I brought you muffins.
Oh. There we go, muffins.
I mean, okay, damn. I mean,
you're a motherfucker.
You might as well just call me Jesus. Yeah. I just made muffins out of nowhere.
You made muffins. Yeah, right. Oh, man.
Okay, well, future guests will bring caviar.
Yeah, well, Sia's going to be handling all the guests. He's going to be handling the strategy and the planning around the show. He's going to be in charge of the output and the podcasts and everything else. So it's very exciting. Very exciting stuff. And Mabali will be in charge of zero because she can't even keep track of her phone.
But
did you leave here with anything left behind? I mean, did Lucas check? Lucas, I asked you to just make sure she didn't leave anything behind yesterday. Did you ask her?
Yeah, I did ask her if she has her phone with her. And she had her handbag.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had everything.
You have to keep a checklist. Right, Mubs?
Yes, Lucas was kind enough to check with me yesterday.
By the way, if anyone wants to break into her apartment this morning, Mabali has left it wide open.
Yeah.
The leaves are blowing in.
Last night,
water's running, the oven's on.
Last night I was out on my balcony and there was a very suspicious looking cat giving me there was a standoff between the cat and I at some point.
Really?
Because that bitch was looking at me like she wanted to start something and I was like, really?
Like a Michael Jackson song.
Yeah, like a fruitful relationship maybe.
No, it looked evil.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't look for trouble with you. That cat knew. This is one woman you don't want to get into a fight with. I can't imagine that would have ended well for the cat.
No.
Although, I mean, it does know your surname is Molloy, and it does know that witches like cats. So maybe it thought, kindred spirit.
I really think you need a cat in your life, Mubs.
No,
that'll be the thing.
Absolutely not.
Please, Ben, the thing will die. It will die a horrible death alone.
I will forget that it exists. Yeah.
It's fine. Cats are quite resilient, and the cat will teach you how to become more responsible.
No, look, I mean, we all love Mabali, but you can't allow her to have an animal.
Yeah,
be very bad news.
But Gareth,
very, very bad news.
Just look how I've kicked on as a person since I've had meowsers in my life.
You've become more reclusive and strange. You've always been a bit strange. You're even more strange now.
Ben, we all have things that make us better as people. For me, it's the victims I keep in my dungeon. I don't need a cat.
Yeah, there's plenty of pets in her dungeon.
My life has great balance.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
The pets in her dungeon are doing a perfect job. Thank you.
I wanted to say, when I like started working in the beginning, I was obviously telling Lucas my background and who I am. So then Lucas was like, do you have cats? So I was like, no, like, why would I have cats? And he's like, no, because white people have cats. Your parents are white, aren't they?
Lucas.
Lucas, what racist. All right, let's get into some news, shall we? It is time for Kalkakio's Pizzeria and the latest in the news. Let's see what's happening with Mabali Moloi. Take it away. We've got a choir for you this morning, Mubs. That's right, and in case you don't know, because you can prepare for this now, they're running a special, Monday special at Kalkakio's. It'll run from the 1st of May until the 31st of August, so you slap bang in the middle, and it's a special winter promotion. How does it work? Yeah. Well, you buy any gourmet pizza today, you get a second gourmet or classic pizza free. Available nationwide at all Kalkakio pizzerias and Mio Kalkakio pizzerias, the less expensive pizza is free. So you know what? Go in there. Buy a pizza for yourself. If you can't finish both, you could give it to a homeless guy. It'll be the best meal he's had in a while, and you can feel good about yourself. You can give it to a family member. You can give it to somebody who works for you. You could put it in the microwave and warm it up the next morning. You could do whatever you want. It's, no, they're not going to question you. They're going to give you two pizzas for the price of one. Doesn't that sound like a deal? It's available nationwide. In-store or takeaway only, no delivery, T's and C's apply. Get to Kalkakio Pizzeria today. Mubs, what's in the news?
Well, Brian Molefe is the guy that everybody seems to want gone, as the Eskom board confirmed that they have in fact received instruction to fire the Eskom CEO. That instruction coming from the Public Enterprises Minister Lynn Brown, who announced yesterday afternoon that Molefe's controversial reinstatement be rescinded.
How could this even be a debate? Like, who is on the other side? Who still actually wants him around? It's insane, right? Insane. Donald Trump is busy scratching his head, going, I don't understand. If you don't want someone, you fire them. It's very simple. I fire people. You're fired.
Now, it was yesterday evening when the board of Eskom released a statement saying that they will meet to finalize the way forward on the issues which were raised by the minister. So, yes, the minister says that Brian Molefe should be fired, but the board still wanted to meet to discuss the way forward.
What do you need to discuss?
I mean, you idiots. It's so tricky. So if you are Brian Molefe, do you wake up this morning and go into work, or do you kind of lie in bed and think, "Ah, well, let me wait to see what they say at the end of it all."
Ben, I defer to you.
He's going
to
get paid no matter what, so he can do what he wants.
Yeah, he might as well stay at home and chill. Yeah. Why are you stressing yourself out with going into work for today?
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
And then he can probably sue Eskom for like discrimination or something. So either way, he's probably going to get like another $30 million.
I want to see him cry again on TV. That was the only time he was useful to us. I want to see the guy in tears. I want to see him humiliated on television again. Imagine being his children. Like, every other kid in the school knows that your dad is the biggest parasite in the history of South Africa.
Oh.
On the suckling on the teat of state because he's made the right friends and he's being paid half by the state and half by the Guptas. You're like, I would not be friends with one of his kids at school.
I mean, it's tough. Sins of the father. But his kids have nothing to do with who the man is.
Well, they should go and sit down with their dad and say, listen, dude, you're behaving like a douche and the whole country knows it. Please, stop it. Just get out. Just go. Dad, can we move to Venezuela? That's what you say if you're his kid.
Look, it's rough for the kids, I'm sure. Well, I don't know how old they are, but yeah, imagine that guy being your dad.
Ugh.
All right. And then President Jacob Zuma will not only have to defend the budget of the presidency in the National Assembly this afternoon, but also his right to keep his job amid calls from opposition parties that he resign. We are now in round 783,000 of opposition parties versus the president. I mean, I am so exhausted of this process.
800 and 700. Listen properly. 769,820. Well, and 70.
All right.
Exhausting, but a necessary process. Look, we'll ask. It's Justice is coming in today, right? It's
Thursday. He'll be
today.
Here. Well, yep. Justice Malala on the burning platform later on. Don't miss it.
We can defer to Justice Malala. So during the budget debate yesterday, opposition parties accused the president of putting himself first and handing over state institutions to the Gupta family.
How dare they? I mean, what a terrible thing to say about this man who's working so hard.
Ahang said that radical economic transformation was only benefiting the president and his friends.
Oh, yeah.
Cope said that the president is betraying South Africa. And the DA launched a verbal attack on Zuma, as well as the ANC, saying that the president had killed the ANC, but he would not be allowed to kill South Africa.
Pull out your testicles.
So this afternoon, the president will return to the House to respond to the debate that took place yesterday.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like seeing him under pressure. Apparently he ran out of there like someone who'd eaten a bad curry.
Yesterday.
That's what Ranjeni said. on Twitter.
Okay.
You know, I follow Ranjeni Munsami. But yeah, let him feel a bit of the pressure. Why the hell not?
And then a public memorial service will be held for former police detective Pete Bielefeldt in Sandton today.
Oh.
Yeah, he died at the Life Wilgejewel Hospital in Roodepoort last Wednesday. He had stage 4 cancer in both lungs. And it had also spread to his spine, adrenal gland, and the liver. Oh, my goodness.
That spread fast.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
In the days leading to his death, doctors had kept him sedated, and they stopped all treatment on the Monday, which preceded his death, or rather his passing on the Wednesday. Bielefeldt, of course, was heralded as one of the best detectives that we've ever had. He solved the murders of Lee Matthews and Pretoria schoolgirl Sheldine Human. He was responsible for the conviction of Cedric Maike, also known as the Wimmerpan killer or the Hammer killer, as well as the mind dump serial child killer Sipho Dube. He also fell at the hands of Pete Bielefeldt. So yeah, that memorial service taking place in Hurlingham in Sandton today.
Well, I reckon the police need people like him, and there's got to be a new generation of brilliant detectives. God alone knows where they are. They're probably good policemen and women working really hard somewhere in the ranks, but it doesn't show in the leadership. I mean, we've got this police leadership that no one respects. The police don't respect them. The citizens are frightened of them. It's a no-win game for whoever's in the police service right now. So men and women who are serving in the police force, we're behind you. You're there for us, I know. But the leadership of the police force just does not seem to care about what's going on with the citizens of this country. They're interested in what's going on with the politicians, their bosses. And I wish that there were career policemen at every level of management in the police rather than politicians, because I think we'd have a much cleaner, clearer idea of what the police are there to do. Anyway, we salute you, Pete Bielefeldt, a good man who did a lot of good and put some very evil people behind bars.
And then lastly, Gareth, CNN have decided to take the decision to fire Kathy Griffin after the whole picture of President Trump with a decapitated head.
Yeah.
This is so bizarre. I mean, you know, we're always talking on the show about free speech this and... like, what's going on here, CNN? It's a picture of a decapitated Donald Trump. So what?
It was the most cringe thing ever. Firstly, Kathy Griffin.
Well, so Kathy Griffin, Kathy, let me tell you, Griffin. Sia showed me the video, and she looks, wow. She's a strange-looking human being in the first place, but in this one, she's got very, very frightening. She's got like a white face. Ugh. She's made up like Queen Elizabeth I. It looks terrible. Apparently, Donald Trump said, "Disgusting, not surprising. This is the left today. They consider this acceptable. Imagine a conservative did this to Obama as POTUS."
Oh, please.
And then, he took it very personally. Melania said, you know, this is gross. Even Hillary Clinton.
Hillary chimed in saying this
Hillary
is gross.
Hillary said it's not acceptable. So.
But it was, I mean, like, you can understand humor and stuff, but this is so cringe.
What?
It is. It's a decapitated, bloodied head.
Wait, okay, so where's your freedom of speech rant today, guys?
No, I totally agree with you. Listen, I don't have any.
Where is it this morning?
I don't have any.
I mean, that isn't freedom of speech. That's like mimicking ISIS. How is that freedom of speech? Saying, questioning Donald's policies and what a dick he is, sure. But what's a decapitated, bloodied head going to... I mean, that's not even humor.
So now you want to draw fine lines in the sand.
I just want to comment on how Kathy Griffin looks in this video. She looks 1,000 years old. Look at this picture. I mean, my God. Tell us, Kathy, what's going on here? I mean, what's happening?
I sincerely apologize. I am just now seeing the reaction of these images. I'm a comic. I cross the line. I move the line. Then I cross it. I went way too far. The image is too disturbing. I understand how it offends people. It wasn't funny. I get it. I've made a lot of mistakes in my career. I will continue. I asked your forgiveness, taking down the image, going to ask the photographer to take down the image, and I beg for your forgiveness. I went too far. I made a mistake, and I was wrong.
Yeah, let's not go on a witch hunt. I mean, that apology video is so disgusting that I think she's served her time. I think she's paid the price. To look like she did in that apology video on the internet forever... That's way more humiliating than anything she did. So let's let her go.
Yeah, she does make a good point. She's a comic. And I mean, what, like, comics have done some of the most atrocious things imaginable. Like, why is
like,
this
like appear in that video without the makeup?
Why is this any different?
That is funny. I got to give her full points as a comic for going on that video and saying, looking like shit. That was good.
I didn't know that she even had a show on CNN, but for the past 10 years, she has co-hosted the CNN annuals New Year's Eve coverage. Yeah.
So why?
So that's there.
And guys, I'm tired of people apologizing for shit on the internet. Just say what you want to say. As far as Kathy Griffin goes, clearly she knew when she did this that she was going to get a reaction. She knew that they were looking for ammo against people like her who don't like Trump, and this is, she handed it to them on a silver platter. She's an idiot.
Now,
but I don't think anyone should go to jail or lose their job over this.
No, I mean, look, that's another level, but to say this is just okay, it's freedom of speech. I don't see it as freedom of speech. I'm maybe missing something. Maybe I missed the context of the joke, but this is just being a dick.
She's a comic. I mean, yeah, you know, people joke about all sorts of atrocious things.
Yeah,
rape, murder.
We joke about ISIS.
How is this any different?
We joke about ISIS all the time. My point is exactly that freedom of speech is allowed, but there are costs. And if Kathy has crossed the line here, that some people are going to take pot shots at her. It's happened to all of us.
I'd actually have to say I'm very surprised at how empathetic everyone is all of a Saturday when they haven't been Team Trump at all.
No.
And now everyone is getting up and acting up. And you know, the Trump family has, I see now that they're also making the most of this moment.
Of course.
Because they've now roped in Barron Trump, Trump's 11-year-old son.
Yeah.
And they said that he was watching TV.
Yes,
and
but this is
when
what
he saw the photo.
But, oh, come
and
on.
He thought it was real, so he panicked to Melania.
No, but doesn't he have he suffers from something, like a mental condition?
Well, like his father, he's probably got short man syndrome or something. I don't know what it is. Listen,
but they're going to pull on the heartstrings.
Guys, we don't need to Kathy Griffin, we don't need to burn images of Kathy Griffin now. And she's lost cred. She used to have a lot of cred. She was a very successful comedian, and she had these shows, and wherever she appeared, she was very funny. And now we're going to judge her on one thing. And forevermore, she's going to be the woman who held up the severed head.
I have to see that head. I still haven't seen the footage.
It even looks fake to me. So
that's totally fake. Yeah, but I do agree with Ben. Like, in a world where ISIS is, you know, in the news, and you got these Islamic terrorists beheading actual people, it's kind of tasteless. But that's a matter of personal opinion.
Yeah.
And you can't make rules on taste. So some people are going to be upset. Some people are going to say we don't care.
Yeah.
But it seems she's ended up on the wrong side of this, and maybe she deserves it. Who knows?
Well, the secret.
I don't know.
The Secret Service, though, isn't laughing because law enforcement sources tell TMZ that the Secret Service has launched an investigation into, and I quote, the circumstances surrounding the photo shoot.
Ooh, all right, let's get into the sport with Ben. Yes, Ben, what do you have for us?
Well, Gareth, we are all set for this Cricket Global League. No, wait, it's actually got a real name now. The T20 Global League. That is South Africa's version of the IPL, South Africa's version of the Big Bash. Although they would not want to be kind of depicted like that. This is going to be something really standout, new and fantastic for South Africa. In June, so basically you could pitch for getting a team in this tournament. You need lots of money and a little bit of influence and who knows what else. But 19th of June, 8 teams will and their owners will be announced. And then all of them have marquee players that will be assigned to them. And it'll be amazing. It'll be absolutely amazing. It'll be the last quarter of the year here in South Africa.
All right.
And another amazing step is that this tournament will bring infrastructure change in that some of the cricket stadiums around this country are, well, you know, yesterday I was going on about how great the rugby stadiums are.
Yeah.
Well, the cricket stadiums haven't really been updated in quite some time. So a fresh 250 million rand will go into infrastructure, upgrading these stadiums. And that is a really good thing. Whenever money goes back into sport, hooray. So that's a very important thing. In rugby news, it is the Super Rugby this weekend without the SA teams. They're all kind of taking a break now because they're getting ready for the French series. So they'll be just the Australasians. I'll get into those fixtures tomorrow if you really want. In football news, in other rugby news, the junior box, which is the under 20 side, they drew with France yesterday. Bit of a piss poor performance. They were down to 13 men at one stage, and then eventually Kerwin Bosch saved the blushes, as they say. And he, with a great kick, managed to draw the game 23-23. Coach Sean Roux then said that he admired the team's character.
Oh.
Which is
what
does
that mean?
Which is a nice way of saying, well, we're in shit, and then they managed to make it less shit. But you can't get two people binned in any form of rugby, and it's just poor discipline. So they managed to get out of jail against France, kind of, but they're going to have some tough matches ahead. And, of course, everyone will be looking at the English team, who are defending champs, and, of course, the New Zealand team, who are always amazing. Always, always amazing. In tennis, there was a couple of upsets. Joe Wilfried Tsonga, he didn't manage to last much longer as he got back on court against the Argentinian gent. But Dominika Sivakova, she was the big casualty yesterday. She lost to Tunisia's Ons Jabeur. Now, Jabeur is the first Arab woman to reach the third round of a Grand Slam, which is a really big thing. So she's from Tunisia.
Yeah.
And she was just dressed like any other woman, before you ask, Gareth.
Why was I not going to ask? You mean she had to be in Islamic garb?
Yeah, so she made it to the third round. Now, she was a lucky loser, as they say, in that she managed to get through because someone pulled out, so she got through the qualifying stages. Through the back door, so to speak, and now she's in the third round. This is an amazing feat. Djokovic got through yesterday. All the big seeds kind of just powered on through yesterday. And today, you'll be able to see Andy Murray. He'll be playing. He's playing against Klizan from Croatia.
Oh.
Radwanska's playing today. Pliskova's playing today. Gael Monfils. Vavrinka will be in action. Marian Cilic will be in action. And Eugenie Bouchard will be playing as well. And Svetolina. So there's so much happening in the French Open right now. But I tell you what's also happening. This bloody Margaret Court, she is not holding back, huh?
Oh,
this
no.
This grouchy old wench, she's just now sprouting more and more stuff about how gays are just, you know, same-sex marriage is terrible because then they have children who then become transsexual children, and the transgender children are the work of the devil, she said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She also wanted to say that tennis is full of lesbians nowadays. And even though she doesn't say anything bad about lesbians, she has nothing against the gays, she says.
Oh, yeah, sure.
She just doesn't
like
trust their ways.
People say, I've got lots of black friends. So but I mean the Avia beer.
So, again, there were so many quotes from this Vision Christian radio station that she went on yesterday. So, Margaret Court, who has the most Grand Slam titles, technically speaking, although she wasn't playing in the Open era. Now, she then became heavy into Jesus, and she's now like a pastor, and she's head of a big church in Perth, blah, blah, blah. She says, I mean, tennis is full of lesbians, because even when I was playing, there were a couple there, but those lesbians managed to lead the young ones into parties and things.
Oh my God.
And you know, when you get at the top, you often get it right down the bottom as well. So she was going on about the fact that Billie Jean King was an outwardly open lesbian, as was Martina Navratilova, and she does not like either of them.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
But she went on to say, "We're here to help to overcome it, though. We're not against those people. They're human beings. And 92%, they say, in America, have either been abused in some form sexually or emotionally at early age, and for them to even be this way, that's the result."
Well, she's saying there's something wrong with them.
No, she's saying they can be helped, Gareth. And she just said...
Yeah, by Jesus, right?
Yeah, that basically, if you get Jesus, you'll no longer be gay.
Right.
Which is quite a miraculous process. But I must play just a little excerpt from this interview. So yes. It is the Vision something or other. It's this big Christian organization, and they basically interview people. And Margaret was then taking calls in this beautiful echo chamber. So here's just an idea of what this interview was.
Yeah, Margaret, come over here and talk to us, Margaret. I got some questions. Go on.
For your input today here on 2020. Let's take another one. Annette is on the Gold Coast in Queensland. Hello, Annette. Welcome along.
Hi, good morning.
Annette, what are your thoughts?
Hello, Annette.
Hi. God bless you, Margaret Court. What an amazing human being and an Australian you are. Praise God.
Thank you.
Of course, it comes to my heart immediately that blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God.
So, just to give you some context here, Margaret's now a hero in Australia amongst the Christian community because she's taking
on... stood up to Qantas. Those evil gays.
She's taking on all these people who are basically saying, we can't let our country go down the toilet and have same-sex marriage. So, I mean, Annette was just one of the many callers that called in and trumpeting Margaret's cause. So, she is now taking this even further. She now believes that the Margaret Court Arena should be a place of praise and, like, prayer rallies and stuff. So... it does bring, like, this has kind of come to a head. You know, Andy Murray was saying that they need to resolve the situation. Are they going to take away the name of the arena, or are they going to keep it? Margaret reckons, let's get some more Jesus in there. All
right. Well, you know what, Margaret?
Thank you.
Bless you.
You know, I'll it's a 45-minute interview. I haven't got the stomach to listen to all of it, but I'll try cut some things out for you tomorrow.
That would
because
be nice.
This woman is gold.
There we go. Margaret Court. What a... You would never get away with this stuff if you didn't have religion to rely on for your bigotry.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what it is, Gareth.
If we just took the religion out, you would just sound like what you are, which is a bigot. The fact that you can bring your religion into it and justify your own awful prejudices in the name of Jesus is just revolting. Makes it even more disgusting, if you ask me. It doesn't in any way exempt you from our scorn as a society that's moving forward.
Yeah, she then went on to actually describe how, you know, this whole same-sex marriage movement and the people who are bullying people like Margaret are no different to Hitler in that they're getting...
Somehow she's the victim.
Yeah, they're trying to tap into the youth, and that's our whole plan. So, again, she's got a big deal about Qantas in that they are supporting same-sex marriage, and then she went on to say that Qantas as a company is failing. They used to be the second-best airline in the world, and now they're the ninth-best airline in the world because they support same-sex marriage. Finally, in football, there's the big playoff relegation playoff thingy. They should really give it like a proper name. Between Stellenbosch FC, Baroka FC, and Black Leopards. And yesterday was the first match in that. Stellenbosch FC hosted Baroka. Baroka were up twice in the match, squandered opportunities, 2-2 it finished. So from here, Stellenbosch FC will take on Black Leopards, and that will be at the home of the Black Leopards. And then Baroka FC, Black Leopards. So next game is Saturday, 3rd of June. And then after that, 7th of June, Baroka FC versus Black Leopards. 10th of June, Baroka FC versus Stellenbosch FC. And then 14th of June, Stellenbosch FC versus Black Leopards. And then 27th of June, big gap there. Lots riding on this final game. Black Leopards will take on Baroka FC. Best team out of those three stay in the Premier League. The next two, well, they go back to peanut butter sandwiches.
Huh. All right, Ben, thank you very much. Let's get to Anthea and find out what's going on with our money this morning. We do this every morning at the same time. We check in with Anthea Gardner. She works hard for your money. That's her theme music, and that's because she means it. She does not mess around, our Anthea. Anthea, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
What do we got this morning on the menu?
So we'll start with global markets. They were a bit softer yesterday, which was surprising considering we had some good economic data from both China and Japan. Eurozone data, not so great. And then commodity prices really under a lot of pressure yesterday. Our market took a lot of pain. I mean, there really were not many places to hide yesterday. We've had a couple of days of negative closes. In fact, even Naspers is suddenly back to being a 2,700 Rand share in days. You know, the Rand traded around 13.16 against the dollar for most of the day yesterday. I see it's 13.11 this morning. And partly that had to do with the trade balance account, which reflected our surplus narrowing to 5.1 billion Rand in April compared to March's revised number of 11.3 billion Rand. So both exports and imports decreased. There are lots of signs of a slowing economy at the moment. You know, we saw consumer spending decrease. We saw fixed income market freezing up. We saw those revised building plans cut lower. I think it's time to focus on politics and to stop focusing on politics and to start focusing on building the country again.
No one's going to disagree with you on that except the politicians.
All right. And they run the country. Oh, yes, I forgot. Yeah. And then on top of that, yesterday, someone was telling me that it looks like Moody's are going to announce their decision this Friday. I don't always believe everything I hear. Mostly traders tend to talk their book. But then after market close last night, Fitch announced that they were going to give us an update today about our rating, and S&P would do it tomorrow. So I think, normally when we have a saying in the market, buy on rumor, sell on fact, I think in this case it was the other way around. You know, traders were selling, and particularly the Rand-sensitive stocks like banks and retailers. Barclays was down over 4%, but Barclays also had a very specific thing happen yesterday after market closed. They announced that they're doing an accelerated book build, which is basically part of the Barclays PLC's strategy to sell down their stake in Barclays Africa Group. The PIC, who manage the government pension fund, were the anchor buyers of at least 59 million shares yesterday, which is about 7% of Barclays Africa Group, you know, the locally listed. The book closed at 7 o'clock last night, so I don't know exactly how many shares the PIC did eventually take up. I know that they extended the book and sold 285.7 million shares at 132 Rand. The share closed at about 139 Rand yesterday. So I think it's a difficult one to call today because it feels like the share should come down and trade at 132 Rand where they sold in the book build yesterday. But at the same time, the overhang of PLC selling their shares means that the share should actually buy. And I'm beginning to think that it's almost time to buy some shares in Barclays Africa Group. The problem, of course, are these ratings agencies, which I really need to get out the way now. They just need to disappear.
All right. Well, that's not going to happen until we know what's going on. I mean, clearly we've got to wait to see what happens with the currency, but also with the macro economy. They're not just going to disappear. They've got to give all of the world a little bit of guidance as to where they should invest money and where they should stay the hell away.
That's why I mentioned earlier on that I'm a little bit worried about what's happening. So we got downgraded, 2 months ago, and we've had a bit of drama. We've seen our economic growth being revised lower. And all those things really feel to me like they're coming to a head now. Like you're seeing the signs. It's all coming through in the numbers now.
Well, what about those people who said, oh, these ratings agencies don't matter. We don't need to worry about them so much. Clearly, those people's argument is dead in the water.
Send them to me. Yeah. I want to have a word.
You'll show them how a balance sheet works.
Mm-hmm. And then last week, Sibanye Gold did a rights issue. So because we own Sibanye Gold shares, you would have seen in your account that you got something called null paid letters. In other words,
you're speaking specifically here to hashtag invest investors.
That's right. Yes.
If you're wondering what a null paid letter is, this happened to me. I saw that in my inbox. What does it mean?
So a null paid letter is an actual listed instrument which gives you the right to buy Sibanye Gold shares at 11 Rand 28 next week when this book closes. The share is currently trading at 15.82. Of course, Sibanye Gold shares dropped dramatically because you have to extract it out. And what's effectively happening is that Sibanye Gold are issuing new shares so that they can raise capital to pay for this U.S. business they're buying so that they can become a nice diversified miner. The nilpaids are currently trading at about four, and this is all very technical. The nilpaids are trading at R4.50, which is a premium to the ex rights fair value of, I think it was around R2.70 yesterday. You know, it's all dependent on, and it's quite an iterative process, dependent on where the share price is trading, where you can buy new shares, how many shares they're going to issue.
Give us the bottom line here, Anthea. Are you saying we should take these nilpaid letters up or we should ignore it?
Okay, so I've decided, you do cut to the chase. I've decided that I want to sell.
Don't make us think as hard as you. Our brains will explode.
Okay, so here's the bottom line. I want to sell half my nilpaid letters, my NPLs. The stock code for that is SGL, which is the Sibanye code, SGLN for nilpaids, SGLN. So I'm going to sell half my SGLNs. Mm-hmm. And for the other half, I'm going to hold onto them and then next week take up my rights to buy more Sibanye Gold shares at R11.28.
Okay.
Really that simple. I could have said that in the beginning.
No, we've discussed gold before on the show many times, but if you're going to go into a gold mine, and if you're going to go with one of the big gold miners, these guys seem to be doing the right things. Diversification, they seem to be running their operations very lean and mean. They have a good board, good leadership in place. You've said before, this is why you've included them in the portfolio, right?
Yeah, the share price is disappointed a little bit because it was originally a gold company. And Neil Froneman's done so well to diversify away from gold. And this big deal is exactly that. And not only diversify away from gold, but also to get offshore exposure. Mm-hmm. He's buying in the US. He's not just buying local. It's a big deal, though. I mean, it's huge. I think it doubles their market cap, actually.
Great. Let's do it. Yeah. We'll follow your advice, as always.
Super. All right.
Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure. Thanks.
A look at your money this morning with Anthea Gardner. You can find out more by going to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. You can also email her. Her address and everything else is on the page if you'd like to know more about how to get involved in #invest, among other things. There's lots going on that site, and you don't want to miss out on any of the action. If you have, you can just go and get a podcast. Download it to your phone. Take it wherever you go. You can listen to it at your leisure, in your own time. Coming up, Justice Malala, the burning platform. It's powered by Nando's. Next on cliffcentral.com, just after 7. The club isn't the best place to find the lovers, so the bar is where I go. Cliffcentral.com.